I want to continue to share something in the theme that I've been on for the last few weeks, and it's something that's really dear to me, and I think it's very vital to this church, this and this community of faith. Well, really, it is vital to God's church. God's, you know, when I say that, we're talking about those who've come to a faith relationship with Jesus, that we are called to share our faith. And if you've been here the last few weeks, that's been the message. I've come at it from different angles and different places. So what I want to do is we're going to look at a couple of verses here. But it's so important to see that once you've tasted, now you've heard this expression before. Now, if I say to you, do you like Indian food? Now, some of you are going to say, well, I don't know. Now, there's one thing, there is a difference in Indian food. There's South Indian food. There's North Indian food. I come from North India. So we have, but the point I'm making is, oftentimes, if I really like something, you know, I will say, I tasted it, and it's good, and then I would recommend it to somebody. Right? And there's a verse in the Bible that says, we have the opportunity to tell people, once we have tasted the goodness of God, then we have the opportunity to tell people, come, taste that the Lord is good. And next part of that verse, blessed is the man who puts their trust in him, or the woman, or the child, or person. See, it's something about, so for me, coming into a relationship with Jesus was, it was a wonderful experience. I thank God. But now, because of I've tasted, I have a testimony. Testimony is really, quite simply, what I've experienced. I can tell you my testimony, which is my story. So when I've experienced God, there's something has happened. So, and I can't help but share it. Now, somehow, because we have an enemy, as you know, who wants to keep the message hidden, who wants to keep us quiet, or he wants to cause us to feel some kind of fear or shame or something that doesn't allow us to freely share. But there's another verse in the Bible. It says, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. I'm so glad that the message came to me in that way, that it was expressed, and it was, my heart said, yeah, I received this. I believe this. I accept this fact that we have a God who is so amazing, so gracious and so kind and merciful, that he himself would come in the person of Jesus and would give his life. You know, this is symbolic of the Christian faith, the cross, but really, it reminds us that this is what God's like. You know, God's love is so amazing that it came from heaven down to earth to reach out to me in the pit of wherever I was. You know, the heart of Jesus when he comes into this world is to seek and to save the lost. Mark tells us, it's interesting, and some people, well, might say, well, who are the lost? The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who are the lost? All, really, there's a humanity that doesn't acknowledge God. So the lost is everybody in some way. Now we've come to the place where we've been found. Some of us have come to that place where we say, hey, God has sought me and found me, saved me, rescued me. Hey, what a great thing to taste the Lord and experience his forgiveness, to experience his kindness, his goodness, his favor, his love and mercy. You know, last night we had a great day yesterday. Some of you, you know, had a chance to be here. we've been doing 10 hours of worship and prayer, and we have these great times of worship and prayer for the 10 hours. We started at 12, we went until 10 at night. It was an awesome time. But it's interesting because I started the prayer time in the morning at 12, and then I shared a scripture. But it's interesting, even though I shared the scripture in the morning, and Colby and Irv, they were doing worship later in the day. They came later, and at the last session of our meeting, Colby shared the same scripture. It was Psalm 103, you know, and we were talking about that because in that Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name." Because he is a God who forgives us. He forgives all our sins. He heals our diseases and saves us from a pit of destruction. Crowns us with loving kindness and renews our health and strength like youth. Come on. This is our God. So the benefits are amazing of knowing Jesus. Man, who wouldn't want to tell people about the goodness of God? If I've experienced the blessings of God, it's in my spirit to talk about it, to share it. So Jesus, when he comes, he has these people who come into a relationship with him. You know, the journey of Jesus is quite amazing. You got those verses there, amen. Have a quick look at that, amen. That's great. We can turn them off because they'll be watching up there. There's a time for it, and there's a time to cut it off. I know about that. So we don't even pass out notes because then people are looking at their notes. Amen. In Jesus' name. Plus the Lord just, you know, notes are for some people. They're not necessarily what I'm good with. So, amen. But here's the thing. But once we've experienced it and tasted the goodness of God, it's our joy and a privilege to share it with others. And that's really what it's about. So, you know, Jesus had these followers that experienced him, that came to know him. And, you know, in that time they used the word disciple. How many of you know the word disciple really means someone who comes along and follows a leader or somebody and comes, was that? Yeah. And so he comes and he learns, he becomes a learner. He becomes somebody who's going to learn, to be mentored and just, you know, to learn to be like a, like they would have a teacher, they would become like a student, you know. But it was really more than that. These ones who were touched by Jesus were so changed that when you look, go to the, you know, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, in the book of Acts, and what the impact that they had on the culture and the society in which they lived. Not just that society, because they were called to go change the world. Come on. But so we're going to start out with just a reference that you're familiar with. So Jesus always intended that the message that he lived first and the message he walked out in his life and his death and resurrection was to be shared. So the heart of Jesus, heart of the faith we call the Christian faith, is that it's a message of evangelism. It's a the term that is used in the Bible is the gospel, which is the good news. As I already shared, if you get good news, you want to share it. So Jesus came with the good news from God, and he shared that good news. He lived out the good news. He walked out that good news. As a matter of fact, I love this. Just going to go to a couple of quick references here. These are just so first one is, if you were able to bring it up, Irv, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Now, as you know, Jesus, when he was here, he primarily came to the people of the land, which were his people, Jewish people, because Jesus himself was from a, you know, Jewish descent. So he was, but he ministered or he served the people with the good news. He administered. This is what he did. So I love what it says in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the, what is it? The gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So, by and large, Jesus' ministry was a ministry of love and compassion and mercy. The Bible says he came not to condemn the world, but to save them. He came not. Now, much of the world, even his own people, when Jesus came, many people rejected him. They weren't interested. He came to his own received him not. John chapter 1, verse 11. But as many as received him, he gives them the power, the ability to become sons of God, the daughters of God. What a beautiful thing. So, but he saw, but look at the next verse. When he saw the crowds, when Jesus saw the people, so picture this. Jesus comes and he's sharing the good news, and he sees the people. Now, I want you to put yourself in a scene. In your town, in your village, in your community, in your home country, some of us have come from. Students, picture the residents around you. Picture the students in your class. I want you to think about this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He felt a deep sense of the hurt, the pain, the hardship, difficulty, confusion, darkness, lostness, people around them. Now, that could include you. Because he has compassion on people. And when he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Now, here's the thing. There is an enemy of God. We call him the devil, Satan, evil, whatever you call it, okay? And God's word tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he describes this enemy as a thief. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. John 10:10. Right? So the thief comes, he doesn't want you to be free. So what does he do? He harasses people. He keeps people in a state of darkness and blindness. There's another verse in the Bible. It says if our gospel is veiled or hidden from people, if it's veiled, it is hidden from those who are lost. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds who believe not. Satan's going to do everything in his power to keep people from knowing God. He's a deceiver. God's word tells us he's a liar. He schemes. He's always looking for ways to keep people in darkness. Some of that could be addictions. You know what I'm talking about? Some of it could be a state of mental condition. Or whatever it might be. Or, you know, some of it could be the state of arrogance and pride. You know, many people are so arrogant and pride, they're not willing to even respond and listen. This is not religion we're talking about. This is about accepting the mercy of God through Jesus. Even, you know, and oftentimes, it takes humility. It takes a place where you have to recognize there's a brokenness in you that you need to be healed. There's something in you that needs to be free. That you are a sinner before God and you need to be forgiven. There's an understanding and acceptance of that. So the enemy keeps people blinded. He harasses people. And also there's a place of helplessness. It says here, he saw them. And sometimes bondage in life can be so that people feel trapped. How many, you know, people have that you've come into a contact with, they feel like they're trapped, they can't get out of it. So Jesus saw people as harassed and helpless. And it says here, like sheep without a shepherd. if you know sheep, I'm not one by experience knows sheep other than the fact I enjoy eating lamb. Well, just me, so sorry about that. But okay, but sheep are creatures, it's a couple of things. They're creatures that are typically unruly, I'm told. They would just go along. Now, their nature is to just wander. So they have to learn the voice of a shepherd. And the shepherd has to be very careful tending the sheep. Well, anyways, so what he's saying is we're like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says, another verse, that same passage our brother read, Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep had gone astray. All. There's one person who isn't astray. A lost sheep. So he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus comes. I love this verse in John 10. In that same chapter we just read, that other verse. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come to give life and life to the fullest. Jesus has come to give his, even in that same chapter, I've come as a good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Picture that for a minute, that the shepherd would care so much for the lost sheep that he would actually lay his life down. He would actually sacrifice his life, put his life on the line. If an attacker come, he would put his life on the line. Jesus did that and more. He put his life on the line by going to the cross and giving it for us. Can you imagine such great love? That's the mercy and the compassion of our God that we've experienced. And there's so many out there that still have a need for this experience. I'm so grateful to God that he touched me, that he saw me like a sheep lost, even though he had many in his fold and many in his camp, we'll call it many, who were already his followers. I'm so glad that he reached out and touched me and found me and rescued me. Come on. Now I want to see with the eyes of Jesus. As I was lost, now I am found. I want the eyes of Jesus, because when he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. And then he said this, verse 37, back in Matthew 9, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is great. There's some, when he saw the sheep that were lost and wandering and harassed and helpless, when he saw the lost, the broken, the wounded all around him, and that could be in your family. There's some in my family in that condition. There's some in my neighborhood in that condition. There's some people I cross the path with, wherever it might be, school or work or leisure or pleasure, wherever it might be. There are people that I cross my path with that I know that are sheep without a shepherd. I'm so glad now that I'm in the fold. Amen? Come on, how many glad that he's called you in, that he invited you to come in? But he says there are many sheep yet that are not in this fold, and I must bring them in too. Now think about this. Jesus no longer is here on earth. Personally, physically speaking, Jesus is no longer here. But in John's gospel, he says, listen, he says, as the Father sent me, I'm now sending you. I'm sending you, but I'm not sending you by yourself. Thank you, oh my Father, for leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, that you gave us the Helper. Thank you, oh my Father, that you've given us your Spirit. So Jesus is getting ready to leave the earth, and he says, listen, I am not leaving you without a helper. I'm not leaving you all by yourself. I am coming again. My Father is coming again, and they're coming again in the presence of Holy Spirit. Boom. Because the power that I have, the ability that I have to see, the ability I have to have compassion and mercy, the ability that I have to touch people who are lost and broken and see them set free and be healed and made whole is in the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you follow the gospel, it says that he gives them that ability to see the harvest. He gives them the ability to see the to see that there is a harvest that is plentiful and workers are few. And my prayer today is for us. Come on. My prayer today is that God would give us the vision to see through the eyes of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray a fresh baptism, a fresh baptism, a fresh sense of your presence, to see the lost and the broken with the eyes of Jesus, to have compassion and mercy. I pray that God would give us a sense, but maybe we need to touch ourselves. Now, maybe you're a good candidate for compassion and mercy and forgiveness today. Well, praise God. Go to him. Receive that. He's going to offer it to you. He offers it to everybody. But those that have tasted this and know it have the privilege of now sharing it. I love this. You know, Jesus says, pray, ask. Word 38, verse 38, after he says the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. God, you see the broken. You see my neighbor. You see the person I come across at Tim Hortons drive-thru. You see the person I come across walking down the street who's maybe homeless or struggling or something like that. God, by your Spirit, empower me. Hey, guess what? He's already given us his Spirit. Now, we need a fresh... if anything I can do this morning to encourage you is to give you a sense of a fresh awakening.
It was funny, we invited somebody to come to church here this week, and talking to her, and she said, anyway, she said that, she told her what church was and who the pastor was, and she said, you talked to me.
There you go.
It's too funny.
There you go. So we got to practice what we preach. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless that lady in Jesus' name. The seed that's been sown, we call it the life now. Amen. I thank you, God, because when God sows a seed through somebody, he brings them into an encounter and relationship with other followers of Jesus, because he wants to water that seed. He wants to bring a harvest in. Come on. In Jesus' name, we speak life over that seed, life over the seeds that have been planted through your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love that. We sow the seed, some plant, some water. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. You remember that passage? God gives the increase. So let it be, Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So if I can do anything today is to encourage you, to inspire us to see. So when we get to that place, so if God, you wonder, Pastor, why do you guys do prayer meetings? And a lot of times in our prayer meetings, we're praying for the lost. We're praying for harvest. We're praying for people to come in. And it says here, pray. Right? You know what I love about the idea? That when we start to engage God with this heart of compassion, even if we just start by asking God to do something about it. So if you have a need, there's a need present. You can just say, God, there's a need. Could you help with that need? God, how many of you prayed for people who are in need and say, God, would you help there? You know, would you bring help there? You know what's amazing about this passage? It wouldn't surprise you to hear this. When you see a need and God touches your heart to see the need, he will often call you to meet the need.
Amen.
Yeah. Now I want you to see something here. You know how many know there's no chapters or verses in the Bible? It's all, you know, these are put by people for us to have a better understanding and to make references. Originally, these were all together. It was a narrative. It was a written thing, right? It was a story, whatever, right? So now, chapter 10, verse 1, connects with chapter 9. So the story continues. Let's listen to the rest of the story. Paul Harvey says, now the rest of the story. You remember that? Some of you know, who's Paul Harvey? Scratch your head. I'm old. We used to listen to Paul Harvey. Rest of the story. You're too. Amen. Okay, so listen to this, guys. Chapter 10, verse 1. Same, Matthew 9. We were reading Matthew. Sorry, I'm all over the place. Sorry, Matthew 10. I know I go all over the place with the references here. But Matthew chapter 10. So he says, now remember, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his followers. He says, ask that the Lord of the harvest would send workers. So what do you think they did? Probably asked, right? They probably prayed. And guess what next? They're the ones that are being sent. So they're asking, Lord, you see the need on the campus. Who? Lord, you'd see the need at my workplace. Lord, look at the people that are hurting. Look at the people in my office. Look at the people. Come on, if God gives you a compassion and a heart like that, you start to ask God. Watch and see. Most likely, God's going to call you to do something about it. So it says in the next chapter 10, verse 1, these are his 12 disciples. He's just talked to them about the need. And the next thing you see, he calls the 12 and he commissions them to go. He calls the ones who are asking. Follow me. He says he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. He called the 12 and gave them authority. He gave them ability. He commissioned them. He empowered them. And he called the 12 and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits. Hey, to heal every sickness and disease. And really, basically, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. To teach and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And we have this privilege now because this is the commission that we would see them have. But before the Lord went away, he basically gave us the same commission. Okay. In the need of the moment, at the time, he called the 12. Follow me? Right? Now we're living here now. Jesus is coming. He's actually, throughout the Gospels, he's continued to call people. Right? And at the end of the Matthew's Gospel, he actually, I love this here. Matthew 28. Can we go all the way to the end of this great book, Matthew 28? So at the end of this great Gospel of Matthew, you see the commission is now going to everybody. All the followers of Jesus are getting to hear the commission. So this is what he says. Now remember this. Jesus has come, lived his life, right? Just follow the history. Jesus came, lived his life, commissioned the 12 disciples to do the work of ministry. Now at the end of the book, at the end of the gospel, he's going to give the same message to all his followers. So I want you to think about this. Hey, aren't you glad that we are, you're called to be you're a follower of Jesus, and you are granted the privilege and the authority of Jesus is given to you and I. Look, I love this passage. At the end of this book, chapter 28, verse 19. Well, let's begin in verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 19. So Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. All authority. God places all authority in heaven and on earth to Jesus. So when Jesus is walking and he sees somebody sick with disease, he speaks to that sickness and the disease is gone. The person's healed. If a person is oppressed by an evil spirit, you know there's evil spirits, right? And you've seen people oppressed. Jesus comes into the picture and he says, spirit, be gone. The authority is in Jesus, right? Then he says to his 12 in Matthew chapter 10, that authority which I have to speak to sickness, to speak to disease, and to bring healing physically, mentally, emotionally, and demonically, and to see people forgiven of their sins, I give to you. I give to you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, they did it, and they saw miracles. This is the end of his life. He's saying now to everybody, all the followers, he's saying, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Let me ask you this. Has the gospel message changed from when Jesus preached it to now? It's important. Salvation that Jesus brings includes the healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. Every part of our being is being healed because of what Jesus accomplished. I may not have experienced all of that, but I know that the work of Jesus has paid for it. Amen? And the Lord is asking us to enter in. And as we enter in, and as we engage people, come on, you know, if I engage somebody knowing that all authority is given to Jesus, and now he says, because all authority is given to me, I'm commissioning you to go. As he sent the 12 out with the commission to go, he's sending us out with the commission to go. It says here, therefore, I love this, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, therefore. Okay. What does the word therefore usually mean when you see it in English language? Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. You ask that question, why is it therefore? Therefore is a connective. It connects, right? So you say something, then you say therefore. So if he says all authority is given to me, okay, verse 18, Jesus says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Authority over everything, heaven and earth, everything is given to Jesus. He says, therefore, what does that mean? Because all authority is given to me, I am going to send you out. Ha! He says, therefore, go. Therefore, go. And John says, as John's gospel, he says this, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Can you believe that? Because Holy Spirit now embodies me. The Holy Spirit empowers me. Holy Spirit gives me authority. Actually, Jesus even said to his disciples, listen, go wait for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Okay. For those of you that don't know the Bible in terms of chronology, you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. After those Gospels, which really are the accounts of Jesus presented through four different eyes, that's all it is, then after the four Gospels, you have the book of Acts. Acts is the early followers of Jesus carrying on with the work of Jesus, empowered by Holy Spirit, right? So I want you to see something. So after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there Jesus says, go and wait in the power of, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Maybe you can quote it. Maybe you can go to it for... Or, yeah, this is a good time to get up there on the screen. Amen. While I'm talking about it, we'll get it up there. Okay, Acts chapter 1, 8. So what does it say there? What did Jesus say to his people, disciples, followers? Read it together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now remember, these were primarily people living in Judea, but the message was that they would be empowered, they would receive authority, they would receive not only authority, but they would receive a dynamo, they would receive energy, they would receive strength, they would receive enablement, they would receive something that didn't come from within themselves. So when I go to share with somebody about Jesus, I don't have to put anything on different than knowing that he's with me. I want us to have that revelation today, a new revelation that we don't need to be afraid. There's no need to be anything that would hinder us from having that sense of confidence, not in my ability, but in his. I was thinking earlier of a story, and I know it doesn't, it kind of fits, so I'm going to use it. You know, in the Bible days, back in the Old Testament days, there was a guy, how many remember David in the Bible? There's a guy who eventually became king, but David was a young man who was anointed to be king, but yet wasn't. But he came to a scene where there was a war going on, and God's in that time, Israel, and there was a war against these Philistines, and there was a giant in the Philistines' camp, you know, and his name was Goliath. How many heard of a Goliath? Okay, there was Goliath. Goliath was a giant, and Goliath is the voice. Okay, Goliath is the mouthpiece. Come on, think about this. He's a mouthpiece of the enemy. Hear me. Goliath is the mouthpiece of the enemy, and he's taunting God's people. And he's saying to God's people, okay, if one of you guys could come and fight against me and beat me, then we will all submit to you. Our army will submit to you. But if you can beat me, then we will, or vice versa. Okay, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, you got it. It's whoever wins, you know, gets whoever, okay, you know. All right. And he's making mockery. Listen, he's making mockery of God and his people. So there's a bit of shame there. I want you to think of this. There was shame. There was fear. There's a bit of cowardice. Would you agree? People were a little cowardice, right? They were afraid. Because what they're seeing is what? This giant. I don't know what your giant is today. I love David's answer. David ends up coming to this battlefront, not because he was a warrior. He came to bring food to his brothers who were warriors. He was just a young lad. Come on. He was a young lad bringing food to his brothers because that's how they did it. He came to the scene of the battle, and he saw this giant defying God, making mockery of God, and making mockery of God's people. Now let me tell you something, guys. In your walk with God, when it comes to sharing your faith, there are people who are going to make mockery. Or you're going to feel intimidated. You're going to feel fear. So what are the giants coming against you? If David looked at the fears that he could have, he could look at the giants, looked at the intimidation, and looked at all the stuff that was going on, he could have said, oh my dear, you guys, yeah, you know, you're right to be quiet here. You're right to not say anything. You're right to back off. Society is bringing stuff on us today, guys. When it comes to the message of the gospel, it's not a very acceptable message. Is that true? By and large, people just don't want to hear it or make fun of it. Oh, look at you. You follow Jesus. I don't need a crutch to fall on. You know, you're just using Jesus as a crutch. I'm happy to use Jesus as a crutch because I'm forgiven. I need him. I acknowledge I need him. But it gives me the ability and the power and the grace to love people to have mercy and compassion. God's people, Christian people, are the most compassionate people in the world. Those who truly follow Jesus. I'm not talking as a country. Country, we're not very good. Are you following me? It's not that we're, you know, Canada isn't a Christian country. There are those who follow Jesus who live in Canada. Some of them are brown like me. So what difference does it make? Right? We have to get an understanding of this, right? So David gets to this place and he sees this battle and he sees these accusations. I love this. This is so important for you to see today. David realized in this battle that it didn't belong to, first of all, that someone greater was who was in this battle, that, hey, nobody else could see it. For some reason, they had lost the vision, they had lost sight of the fact that this, we'll call it, voice that was speaking was really a voice manipulative, deceptive. It was something that wanted to shut the people of God, that David, but David saw something greater. He saw someone who was invisible to everybody else, but he saw the power of God being released. Aren't you glad? Come on, I love this expression. I want you to see this. This is so neat as you see it, that it's powerful. And you're going to say, well, I love to just you to see it. So this is happening in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to just see these words. I got to get to the right verse here, guys. So, okay, so after this Philistine speaks to the people and starts, mocking them and making fun of their God, David says, listen, I know somebody who's greater than this Philistine. I know him. I have a relationship with him. He's been my savior, my God. He has delivered me from hands of a bear and hands of a lion. And I've seen him come through many times in my life. Now, he's just a young lad, probably 17 years old. And he's got this relationship with God. And this guy's mocking. So listen, verse 45. Oh, sorry, what did I tell you? What? Chapter 17, sorry. Chapter 17, verse 45. Okay. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut your head off." Hey, that thing that's speaking lies, God wants to take the head off of that thing for you. Come on. What's speaking lies to you today? That's telling you to be afraid. That's telling you to shut up. Telling you it's not politically correct. Talk about Jesus today. Politically correct. In the name of Jesus, I say that the head of the Philistine must be struck down in Jesus' name. Come on, I say whatever voice is speaking to you right now, that you recognize that the authority is not in you or the army that you are with. It's with God. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, who is the God of the armies. So I want you to realize something here, that God wants to capture your heart today. That God wants to get our attention off of us and our inability and get it on Him. Amen. Abby has permission to come and share something the Lord gives her something.
Thanks, Noel. It actually ties in with David. I just happened to glance at this passage this morning, and it just struck me with what you were talking about. It's a little later on after David has become king, after David and Goliath, and he's wanting to bring the ark of God into Jerusalem. And I don't know if you know the story, but when they're trying to take it down into the river, it rocks, and somebody puts their hand on it, and the guy dies, and David's furious about it. So he sends the ark to this guy, Uzziah. And this verse, it just struck me with what you're talking about, Noel. The ark of the Lord remained in the house. Uzziah was the guy who died. Sorry. Took it to Obed-Edom, the Gileadite, for 3 months. Now listen to this. The Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now this version doesn't say it, but it talks about the presence of God was in the Ark of the Covenant. And his presence is what influenced the blessing and the change in that guy's entire household. And when Noel's talking about the Holy Spirit coming, it's exactly the same thing, right? In the Old Testament, there were symbols. Everything was more visible, right? The tabernacle and everything. But now, you are the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God is in you. And that is the changing factor to bless you, to bless your entire household, to bless those who are in contact with you. And it just struck me that it's the presence of God that does the changing. I think that's what Noel's trying to say. It's the presence of God. And the only way that that can become available is when we humbly submit, right? When we are worshiping, when we are opening up, and that's when we have a block if we are not submitting to that. And I think it's something the Lord's trying to speak to me about. It's nothing that I have to do that. It's all surrender. And when I start to surrender, then it's the presence that's doing the blessing. It's the presence of God. And that's why we have these prayer meetings, because we're trying to usher in the presence of God here. We're trying to usher in the presence of God on the island. And he is the one who is going to be doing the power and the changing, because we're allowing that through him. So I just wanted to, that was just tying in with that, Noel. There you go.
Amen, amen, amen. So as we come into the conclusion of these thoughts and these words, I just want you to recognize that, as even as Abby shared that, that God desires for us to be empowered. God's desire is that we would be in that relationship of trusting that his presence is in us. That God, so David had a recognition. He had an enlightened moment. He said, yeah, that's our God. And you guys aren't even acknowledging him. And he says, I will fight for you. I will be with you. I love this, because in Matthew 28, we're just going to wrap it up here shortly. But in Matthew 28, in those verses, Irv will probably get it quicker than I will here, I would think, perhaps. We'll see. Matthew 28, verse 19, we're kind of wrapping it up here with that. You got it up there? 19, or we'll start with 19 and then kind of go from there. But what the Lord is saying is, listen, I have come to give you this power. And so he says, authority is given to you. I love this. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. I love this, because sometimes we think this word go, it means, oh, God's going to send me. Follow me here. Listen, this is important. Really important. It's not like God's going to call me to Africa, which he could, or to India, or some specific place. He's not saying, now go to that place. You know what he's saying? The English word there actually better translated as you go. As you go, or going. As you're going. Okay? As you're going. What does that mean? As you're walking, as you're living, as life carries on. I love that. You carry my presence. Hey, as life goes on, 24/7, you carry His presence. Come on, nothing changes because I don't have to put anything on Sunday morning different than I am out there. I don't even change clothes to be different. Amen. In Jesus' name, because we want to be the light and the presence of God. We don't want to intimidate and be afraid or anything, and we don't want to be intimidating. Who? Oh. Paul would even say, I become like you in many ways so I can reach you. He humbles himself and becomes like them because it is God they need to see, not me. So this is about 24/7. This is about 24/7. It's just walking it out. Living it out, sharing it, being free, knowing that He's going to use it because I don't have to worry about what I'm going to give because the minute I'm going to share, He's going to put words in my mouth. One of the fears we have is, I don't know what to say. Don't worry about it. Just say something. And the Lord will give you something else. I was in St. John last weekend at a prayer event, and we went out for lunch, and I'm with Simon and Lisa are with me at lunch, and there's other people with us at lunch. And anyways, I'm sitting there, we're having lunch, we're having pizza or whatever we were having, I forget what I was having, and I'm enjoying this, but I see the waitress coming, and really she was just there to wait on us, and the Lord gives me something. The Lord gives me something to share with her, and these guys, we're talking. Now that's the neat thing about it. God doesn't have to give it to everybody on the table. He just happened to give it to me that day, to be the mouthpiece. You understand? I said to these guys, "Listen, God's given me a word for this waitress." Hold on. You know, conversation was great, but I really felt I need to get her attention. To give her the word. And it was amazing because I didn't even know that this was going to happen. I'm enjoying my pizza and the Lord says, hey, take a look. I got something to share with her. It was beautiful. But, you know, because I didn't even plan it. It was like God just prepared it. That's just it. We just need to have ears to hear, eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. And then just be obedient to walk it out. And she said, oh, thank you so much for that. I needed to hear that. I don't know what else she said, but it was very much like, boom, it's God. And just leave it at that. You know what? I didn't give her the 4 points of the gospel. I didn't give a tract with 4 spiritual laws that this is what you need. You know, we think that's the method. I don't see Jesus ever given 4. Now, I have nothing against tracts. By the way, did you hear what I said? I have nothing against literature. I have nothing against a message. Put it in a booklet. But we don't have to do it every time the same way. It's being led by the Spirit, being prompted by God, and just living it out. If God says for you to have a pocket full of tracts, well, do it. Follow me. Got it? He won't do it the same way with everybody. So it's as you go. I love this. Therefore, going as you go, make disciples or make followers of Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I love this. This is the part I want to wrap it up with. Abby, your word was so appropriate in this. The last part of this is, therefore, I am with you always. My presence goes with you always. Even to the end of the age. Isn't that great? Therefore, he says, I am with you always. My presence goes with you. So I can walk into the face of the enemy's camp. And if I'm in that place of confidence and trust in my God, knowing who he is, knowing who I am in him, and that enemy rises up with the ugly face, the voice, the voice, that voice, right? I take my sword out. Or take his sword. Take the word, take that sword off of him. But I cut the head off the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.